Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to yet another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your temporary host, the fluffiest Whimsicott, and I'm here to bring you another exciting show with my marvelous, wonderful, I can put all of the adjectives I want here because Thatch is not here to stop me, co-hosts. The first of them is our favorite carrying device, Basket.
What's up, Puckle peeps?
And the second, but no less important of them, is our ever-knowledgeable R-Sigma.
Hello!
As I said, we are here to bring you a very exciting show in the absence of our fearless leader, Thatch. This is, as always, the Puckle Podcast. The name is something that fearless leader himself came up with oodles of years ago, way back in 2007. It stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, and you're not allowed to comment on that. We talk about everything Pokemon from the VGC to the TCG to the anime, the manga, anything we can get our grubby hands on. We love everything Pokemon, except maybe Pokemon Cafe, whatever. We are not very
we make fun of that one. That
yeah, we do make fun of that one, but that's fine.
I played Shuffle a lot. I have no interest in Cafe Remix.
Honestly, it just looks... like, it doesn't look attractive, even with all, like, the nice art. It's cute, but as a game, it never tempted me.
Yeah, like, Shuffle had real puzzles, and that one looks more like it's more freeform, so I just never was interested.
Exactly. Like, it looked messy, and I don't like messy puzzles.
The art's cute, though. I'll give it that.
Oh, yeah, the art is super
cute. The art is cute.
Yeah. We will give them that. Like, every single Pokemon product has something going for it. That one is pretty to look at. And that's it. Anyway, we can stop dumping on poor Cafe Remix and talk about what we've been doing lately, as is the tradition for our intro segment. So, have you guys been up to anything fun lately?
I probably should be hunting for that shiny Aquatauros from breeding, but I have yet to actually pay attention to that yet. I was waiting for home because I really wanted the mass release function on home.
Oh, yeah. That is useful for shiny hunting. Definitely.
Yeah, it makes a difference, but it's still slow. Breeding in Scarlet and Violet takes forever.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of it, I have to admit.
Are you talking specifically about, like, hatching eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And waiting for eggs. It's...
yeah, waiting for them is... oof.
It's a lot of AFK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're doing something else, and then, like, you come back and every, 3 to 5 minutes and tap A a bunch, and then...
yeah.
Go do whatever you were doing again.
I think I've whined about it in a previous episode because my attention span is not good for that, because I'll just start doing the other thing and forget that I'm trying to collect eggs in the meantime. So
the way I do it is I forget that there's like a message prompt on screen and I don't think eggs are spawning during that. So
yeah, exactly.
I waste a bunch of time and
yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
It's even worse because you can't breed Tauros with another Tauros to get eggs faster. So.
Exactly. And also that is like a barely there shiny.
It's a bad shiny too.
Exactly.
So There are just a lot of things that make me not want to do it.
So you're just putting it off and putting it off.
Doing it like out of pure dedication to the idea of having a shiny water Tauros.
It's like, I am missing three Paldean Pokemon.
Oh, wow. Shinies.
Aqua Tauros, Mousehold of Three, and three Segment to Dunsparce.
Oh,
and
gosh.
All of them are miserable to go after.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Those are awful.
Yeah, it's like, I'm waiting for the DLC in case there's an easier way to get them.
Oh, that's fair.
Except for Tauros. Tauros, I will breed at some point.
Tauros is still reasonable, and I guess Mousehold is too, unless you're hunting for the family of three.
That's why I said family of three is the one I have to go for still.
Oh,
so,
oh gosh.
Yeah. I don't even have a Dunsparce segment three, so.
I don't think I have either.
That's like the one Pokemon I don't have registered at home from the new set. It's like, oh.
I'm sure somebody said this on the show already, but, and it might have been me also, but I can't believe that they did my boy Dunsparce like that, man. I'm still a little raw about it.
He got exactly what he deserved.
I mean,
you take that
I'm
back. He did not deserve to be punked like that.
I'm so on the fence on this because on one hand, I am like Basket. I really wanted a really, really cool evolution for Dunsparce. On the other, the Dunsparce is so freaking funny that I can't really be mad about it.
Like, he is exactly what you would have expected.
Yeah.
From being,
it's almost
from
like
Dunsparce's concept. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're just boring.
Yeah, it's almost like the Pokemon company was like, oh my gosh, we keep getting letters about this here. Just add an extra butt.
And this is in the same generation that they gave us cool things like Brigaraph and King Gambit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even Clodsire's cool, like.
Yeah,
and then the Dunsparce is just there.
Yeah, like I like Clodsire, it's awesome, but this is just goofy.
The Dunsparce has its own sort of charm.
it's just more Dunsparce.
Oh gosh. Oh, okay. Basket, what about you?
So I've been working so much. Mm. I started actually replaying Alpha Sapphire.
Ooh.
And I'm having fun with that. Mm. My goal was to, so I transferred over a Pidgey to be my starter because you can get the Pidgeotite pretty early.
Oh.
So I was going to do that and run through it. I haven't gotten to the Pidgeotite yet. And it's been a little rough with a Pidgey. I'm definitely hurting not having a, like
Gen 3 has really good starters, so I believe.
Yeah. But I'm making it through. I'm making it through. But a lot of Pokemon have been sacrificed along the way, which is to keep my Pidgey alive. Which
oh no.
I know it'll pay off, but right now I'm just kind of looking at it like, hey guy, you're gonna need to start pulling your weight here.
it's like Saving Private Bird.
Exactly.
I remember Pidgey being okay for me in Yellow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Different times.
I might have caught a Pidgeotto, though, so that might have helped.
I mean, Pidgey's not terrible. Like, the really good thing about Pidgey is that it gains experience really fast. So at least it keeps growing, unlike Rattata. Rattata's, like, strong, but you have to be patient with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually you get the stab quick attack.
Yeah.
You're going places. Granted, Pidgey gets that too, but.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, it hits harder on Rattata. But, yeah, you have to keep it alive until you get there, which is not obvious. Not obvious at all.
Rattata is solid. It's Hyper Fang.
Yeah.
Early game is absurd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As for myself, I haven't actually been doing much that's Pokemon related, except for stubbornly trying to do random battles and showdown, even after the universe keeps trying to tell me to stop, because I think when you get fully paralyzed, like 9 turns out of 10 consecutive turns.
Hey, I've had things like that.
Yeah, but that's the universe telling you to, like, stop and do something else, I think. Like
sometimes the universe gives you a Bramblegast. Well, a lot of the time. If you're me, you get Bramblegast all the time. And it's only good when you're battling, like, a Zapdos, but...
Yeah. I don't get that many Bramblegasts, but it's like, oh, wow, I have this Pokemon. It's really good. It's really cool. It's only stopped by that particular type, which my opponent has five of. Out. So,
or your opponent has something like a mouse hold or a they have a mouse hold and you don't have a ghost and it's like
oh well yeah that's not fun either.
That's game. That's game. I have no defensive Pokemon and no ghost. Yeah. I guess I lost.
Yeah, and also the really frustrating thing is when you're like, oh, but it's fine because if it makes any sense at all, this Pokemon of mine is going to have this Terra type, which will actually enable me to defend. No, it has a different Terra type. It's never the right one. So you don't even have that option. And that's not a lot of fun.
No, Ranbats are great.
They're fun until you get a streak like the one I'm having. Then they stop being fun for a while. And you do need to start doing something else with your free time. Otherwise, you just get frustrated a lot.
That's fair.
Anyway, I guess we can put aside my misadventures on Showdown Random Battles and move on because there is actually a little bit of news, so we can cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to our news segment. We're going to start, as always, with the general news, which are very, very general this week. So, apparently, Pokemon Shirts is not doing fine, may actually be defunct, but Uniqlo has a Pokemon Masters EX collaboration currently ongoing that has a pretty cool villain shirt, a Leon and Cynthia shirt, and a red and Charizard shirt. And so it's white, but the hat is red, so it still works. And I have a few Uniqlo Pokemon shirts from a collection they did a few years back. And honestly, they're super nice. Like, I'm especially fond of the Alola Marowak one, which looks like a metal band shirt, and then you look closely and it's Pokemon, which I really adore.
Yeah, Uniqlo shirts are very hit or miss.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I feel about them. Some of them are great, some of them I would never have bought.
Sometimes they just put something on a shirt.
But they're, you know, good quality usually, so we thought we'd tell you. And also, there's Black Milk with a collection releasing this week. So if you're looking for a Pokemon shirt, you might want to get your hands on those.
All right, for the exciting stuff, the first volume of Pokemon Adventures Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire is set to release next spring.
Bringing you news from 2011, yeah. Apparently. What is going on in this manga?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're like behind. I mean, I mean, it makes sense, but it's a whole lot of work. And Sigma, you were saying that Black and White took a very long time. So
Black to White too. I remember talking to Pokemon Crossroads Mikey at one of the NAICs. And he's like, oh, yeah, they're still releasing Black 2, White 2. And that was, what, a few years ago? So
we've got the NAIC promos this year. They are a shiny Arcanine for VG and a full art Iono for TCG. That starts June 30th. Oh.
That feels so much like people are paying like way too much money for that card. Let's have a promo of it.
Well, yeah, but it's a digital one, so it's for live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So people are still going to be paying way too much money for that card.
Oh, yeah. I think I see it selling out for like $50 still. So,
gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
Not as bad as Japan, but bad. So event raids actually did start up and didn't burn down this time. So Chestnut happening as we're recording. It's done by the time you listen to this. Hopefully we know if Delphox or Rillaboom are coming next, because usually they would announce that Sunday night after the raids end, or roughly before the raids end. I don't know. Their timing was weird towards the end. It was like a half hour before, but this weekend was also the weekend that the original set of raids would have ended. So if they don't announce something, hey, maybe we'll get a presentation this week. Who knows? That's something
that
to look out
for. That would be interesting. Yeah, we haven't actually heard anything about the DLC in a fairly long while. And I know it's not coming out in the summer, but still.
It should be like September, October, something like that. Maybe August. So a date would be cool, just saying.
I don't see that. That's the thing that's been bothering me ever since they released the release date. Like autumn 2023, that's clear. Like I understand what that means. It's between the end of September and the end of December. Mm-hmm. But winter 2023, like technically there's like...
Is it 2024 or is it 2023? Exactly. Like, I'd like clarification.
If you say winter 2023, my very categorical mind wants to say, okay, so it's
December.
Out between
You're
the 22nd
December, right?
and the 31st of December. Like...
It's like, that is what you're saying, because it would make sense to release it in December, and then January, we start a new season. Right?
Yeah.
That would make sense, but I don't know.
It's not going to be a Christmas release, I don't think so.
I mean, it could be. They released Smash Bros. In December before. Like, I look at it as just December. Maybe it's January, like Legends Arceus was. I don't know, but...
Yeah, but then it's not 2023 anymore.
Show me some in-game footage. Give me a date, please. Like,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Like, there are rumors that there might be a direct this week. We'll see.
Oh, keep your eyes peeled, everyone, I guess. In the meantime, moving the video game over to Showdown, Smogon has quick banned Volcarona and Rapid Strike Urshifu from OU. I am told this is a controversial move. And honestly,
the forums were on fire over Volcarona.
I mean, yeah, why would you quick ban Volcarona? It's not like it has so many counters, I think.
Because Terra.
I don't even like. So what, you Terra Grass? I don't see how...
Volcarona is one of those few Pokemon that could Terra just about into anything it wanted to. I assume that Ground got popular because Heatran exists now, but...
Yeah, fair.
Water is
a thing. It's not so much that it's unstoppable, it's that it's too unpredictable.
It's unpredictable, and they had a big tournament coming in.
Okay.
I think they said that if they ban Terra... Volcarona can come back.
Yeah, but they're not going to ban Terra. Come on. Anyway, I am very offended on behalf of my favorite moth.
Oh, everyone loves Volcarona. That's why everyone was upset. It's like, this is the standard of what power should be. It's like, well, hidden power plus heavy duty boots, probably a bit too much.
Plus changing your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And also, a little preview of the Pokemon of the episode, but Zamazenta, Hero of Many Battles form, is currently receiving a suspect test. Somehow, I don't see that getting banned, but I am not very into the meta, so I might be wrong.
Body Press is good.
Body Press is good, but his ability got nerfed in this generation, so...
It's really sad when you hear about what they did with Regidrago.
What did they do?
So they nerfed Regieleki's transistor ability, but they left Regidrago's ability the same.
So it
showed that they were willing to weaken one of the Pokemon from a pair, and yet they still chose to weaken Zamazenta.
Regidrago, you mean?
Well, they didn't weaken Regidrago, so they could have chosen not to weaken Zamazenta.
Yeah, exactly. But they gave it Body Press, so.
Oh, yeah. You know, Body Press is great for it. It should have had it last year.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, if they do give it body press, they have to weaken the ability because otherwise it's kind of broken. Anyway, we move on to our contractually obligated segment of Go News.
So we now have full information on the Solstice event. It's happening for the rest of the week. If you log in, you get a research for a Cosmog. And if you want another one, you can pay $5.
Oh, right, because you need to evolve it. Damn.
And then Fomantis has been released as a shiny, and Night and Day both have collection challenges. About the Night and Day thing, I was hearing that during the night, the day, there are day spawns during, if you click on the night one, maybe double check that. See if there's been an update that's fixed that.
Okay.
Cause yeah, some people are kind of upset about it. And then Giovanni's going to be switching to Shadow Regirock.
Okay.
And then as far as the July 9th Community Day Classic, it's Squirtle. It includes the ones with the sunglasses from tasks that you pick up. So that's kind of cool.
I love that. You
get a little Squirtle Squad guy.
I don't think I managed to get a shiny one with sunglasses the other times. So I'm actually dry for that if I remember.
Sunglasses were cool.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll close off with the TCG news.
Yes, please.
So TCG Live broke. turned out.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah. Turns out returning Pokemon that lock abilities to your hand broke the game. So they went in and banned a bunch of Pokemon like Tinglu EX, Klefki, Spiritomb.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. Hopefully it's going to get fixed soon because I was playing the Tinglu deck, but I moved to Qian Pao. I played last night. I played three mirrors. That was great. I love it.
Oh, man.
I miss Tinglu. I want him back.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's in the news. And then, hey, we got more information on the 151 set. We know that it releases September 22nd. And we know that the illustration rares that they have taken out of the packs are Snorlax, which is in the Elite Trainer box, and Mew EX and Mewtwo are in the Ultra Premium Collection that costs you like $120. Last year it was three Charizards, so
that's
it's expensive, but they give you a lot of packs. They give you your value. Plus, the Mew EX art rare looks really good.
Okay.
They went through all the products. There's like 10 mini tins this time, so that's cool. There's a poster pack that looks really cool. It has all the Pokemon art from the set on a poster. But for snag, there is an Alakazam box that gives you Abracadabra and Alakazam because Kadabra's back.
Woohoo! So
he doesn't even have to pull for it. He just gets the box.
Nice.
Yeah. And snag, if you're running low on cash, I mean, you can, it's fine. You know, you can pull a couple cereal boxes from your kids. It'll be fine.
Come on. Okay. We're going to close out the news segment as usual with our Puckle Pokey opinion. This time we have a fairly simple question. Who is your favorite Scarlet and Violet NPC, guys?
I mean, Larry's really good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Larry's the easy answer.
I hated him at the beginning, but I started to enjoy his stupid costumes. I'm trying to blank on his name. The guy that keeps coming and, like, pretending that he's not,
Clavel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first he pissed me off.
Oh yeah.
At first he pissed me off, but then
Clive is great.
After a while I was like, Clive, wow, yeah, you are hilarious.
I hope the DLC shows that he has a brother who looks exactly like Clive.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
That's from funny. Like the opposite school.
Yeah. Well, of course, I grew very fond of Arvin because he's a poor little boy with a very sad story, and I am weak for that. But in happier news, I actually really like Salvatore. He's nice. He's handsome. He's
so happy all the time.
Happy-go-lucky. Yeah.
They really always like zoom him on his face and he smiles.
Yeah. He's such like a positive guy, and he teaches you to communicate. And
I hated his classes. I was so bad at saying what the Pikachus were.
Me too. I suck at talking Pikachu, but I still enjoy the classes because of him. Okay, that was an easy one. Even though, as usual, I have two answers because I'm indecisive to the end of time. I think, speaking of answers, we are going to move on to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where I am going to quiz my fellow co-hosts on their absolutely insane Pokemon knowledge. We'll see you over there.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you so much for that reading of the rules. I think we should just jump right into it. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, our first question, I am assuming you guys are fine with a TCG question.
Sure.
Of course. Like I would be. Okay. So, our first question, I do not know who it comes from because the document doesn't say, sorry. So, what is the only unevolved Pokemon to have a Pokemon V-Star card?
Oh, that's Alolan Vulpix.
You're locking that in?
Yeah.
That is correct.
I know that one.
Nice.
Quick and easy. That's 1 point for you guys.
It was the face of a set.
Yeah. And it's such a pretty card, too, with such a pretty Pokemon. Okay, our second question is also unclaimed, apparently. I'm sorry, I don't have the name. But it reads as such. In Generation 9, we were introduced to Herba Mystica. And Herba Mystica has flavors, but one of the flavors of Herba Mystica is new to Pokemon fans. It is not one of the traditional flavors we had for Puffins and Berries and such. What is the new flavor introduced in Generation 9?
I am very familiar with the Herba Mysticas.
Oh,
I bet with all your shiny hunting.
I'm pretty sure it's salty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, because I was thinking of like the different
because bitter, spicy, sour, and sweet, I think are the other ones, and those are all berry flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So salty is the correct answer. It's taking the place of the dry flavor.
Okay.
And yeah. there's just an amazing like comment on this trivia answer, and I have to read it loud. Liger says, I'm sure saltiness was a new experience for veteran players. Anyway, that answer brings you guys to 2-2. And we are now moving on to the third question, which, as usual, is your Pokédex entry question. This one is, again, unclaimed. It is from Pokémon Sword, and the entry reads, artillery platforms built into the walls of ancient castles served as perches from which these Pokémon could fire energy beams. Who's that Pokémon?
Sounds cool.
It does sound right? Really cool.
What are we shooting lasers from? So I can think of a rail cannon Pokemon, two rail cannon Pokemon. Duraludon and Vikavolt come to mind. They are both laser beams, walking laser cannons. Well, Vikavolt's a flying laser cannon, but still. I would lean towards Duraludon just because it looks like a cannon, but.
And this is from what generation?
It's from Pokemon Sword.
See, it would be really cool if it was Clawitzer, but that's not going on a castle wall.
It's in the boat, maybe.
Those are for pirates to use. It's fine.
Yeah.
Those are pirate cannons, not to be confused with castle turrets.
Ooh. So, what would you like to lock in as your answer?
It said something about castles, right?
Yeah, it's castle wall. So that's why I'm leaning Duraludon, because it's from the generation and it shoots lasers. It's just a giant laser cannon.
Okay, let's go with that. Like, I feel like...
Okay,
we'll go with that.
Duraludon is incorrect, unfortunately.
Oh.
So I'm going to read you guys the second Pokédex entry, which is from Pokémon Black.
Ooh.
And it reads, "It flies across the sky at max speeds. Removing the seal on its chest makes its internal energy go out of control."
Oh, Earth Ghost. Golurk.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. I could see. I don't think of that as a laser shooting Pokemon usually, but sure. That makes more sense when it's flying through the sky and has the seal on the chest. Yeah.
Are you guys locking that in?
I'm fine with locking in Golurk.
Yeah, yes.
Very good, because Golurk is correct.
All right.
Nice.
Good job, guys. I had never read that Pokédex entry from Sword, and I found it so cool. It just had to be the question of the episode.
That's a good Pokédex entry. I had no idea that's what it did.
That Pokémon has, like, some of the best entries of the entire franchise, I swear.
Its dex entries are completely opposite to what it actually does in battle.
Exactly. Like, you read the entries and you expect the coolest Pokemon ever.
And it just kind of sits there and does nothing.
It is literally none of that. Okay. So, our fourth question is our multiple answer question. And since you guys are technically one potential point behind, because you only answered on the second Pokédex entry question, and this question has three answers, I will actually award you 1 point for each answer that you give me.
All right.
This question comes from Tubins, and Tubins wants to know, which three special attacking moves are boosted by the ability Sharpness?
Ooh.
Mm.
Hmm.
Okay, so
I think
it boosts
Air Slash is one of them.
If you would like to lock that in, you guys also get one strike for free.
I feel like Air Slash and Air Cutter both get the boost, but
would you like to lock
Air Slash?
Both
I would definitely
together as one at a time.
It's up to you, Basket. I think Air Slash is more likely than Air Cutter, but I think both of them get it.
Yes. Yeah, let's throw them both in. I'm pretty sure that the one that I can think of is Fury Cutter.
No, that's physical.
Oh, special. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Okay, so let's start with your Air Slash lock in.
Oh, no. Yeah, Air Slash lock in.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And then we can try Air Cutter too, just because it makes sense.
Air Cutter is also correct. Good job. You're at 2 points. Would you like to reach for the third?
There's three of them.
You also have one strike to go. So even if you get one wrong, it's not a problem.
I'm just trying to think of the other attack. The issue is that the Pokemon with Sharpness don't want to be using their special attack. So
that's
it's
what
not
makes
something
the question
you're
actually
going to be
hard.
About.
Exactly. Which is why I thought it was a fun but hard question.
Like, I feel like it's just some kind of weird move that you just don't think of, probably. So I
maybe like a obviously it's a special move, but I mean like maybe some sort of like Pokemon like a unique,
like maybe it's a signature move. Nothing gets it.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking.
But
I don't know. I don't know if we'll be able to figure it out anyway. So I'm okay with moving on if you are.
Yeah, we can move on because I have no idea.
Okay, that is a very efficient use of your time. It is actually a sort of signature move, a previously almost signature move. It is Secret Sword.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Would never guessed it.
Yeah.
Keldeo's. Yeah, stupid Keldeo.
Which one? Oh, Sacred Sword.
It's Keldeo's, like, Psyshock.
Yeah. It's the My Little Pony got you guys.
I'm okay with being got by Keldeo.
Yeah.
I don't think of it as a slashing move. You'd never use it with sharpness.
You are 4-4-4. You haven't used your hint yet. And we are moving on to the base stat question. As a reminder, if you do not use your hint for this one, you have technically gotten all of the answers correct, even if it wasn't all of them or all on the first try. So you can still cash the hint in at the end for an extra point if you guys want to keep it and not use it on the final question. Okay, so this base stat question comes from Zachary. And Zachary wants to know, what ice type has the lowest base special attack?
Interesting. Sneasel is pretty bad. Snom might be up there. but we might need the hint.
Special attack.
Like Bergmite might be up there.
Do you guys want the hint then?
What is the hint? Is it like
probably like if it's a dual type or what generation, something like that. Something to point us to the right direction.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys like to have it?
Because I don't think we're going to get it without a hint.
Okay, yeah.
There's too many bad ice types that I don't know stats of.
Yeah, let's do a hint.
Okay, your hint is that this Pokemon is a regional form.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh. Darumaka?
Regional Alolan Sandshrew.
Alolan Sandshrew's gotta be pretty low too.
Trying to think of other regional. Can you think of any other regional ice types?
Yeah, it's probably between Darumaka and Sandshrew because it's not Vulpix. Vulpix is an ice type. It's not Vulpix.
Okay. I remember regular Sandshrew's special attack and Sandslash's being pretty low.
It's got to be like 20, probably.
And then, can you remember how low Darumaka's was? Like, if it was around?
I think it's low, but I don't think it's as low as Sandshrew.
Okay, let's lock in Sandshrew.
I'm okay with Sandshrew.
Does that
sound
good? Okay, we'll try that. Alolan Sandshrew.
Alolan Sandshrew is correct.
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
Good job, guys. You guys were right on the money because Alolan Sandshrew has a base special attack of 10.
Oh my god. That's
Galarian
so low.
Galarian Darumaka has 15.
Oh,
Alolan Sandslash has 25. And Galarian Darmanitan, along with Sitoddle and Swinub, all have 30.
Oh my gosh.
That's so bad.
That is really bad.
I don't think of Pokemon having tens of stats very often.
Yeah, no. I was with you. I thought it was going to be like 20 or 25 tops.
I expected it to be 20.
Wow.
Usually 20 is like the low bar, unless it's a very exclusive Pokemon like a Shuckle.
No. It is 10.
It is that
indeed.
Bad. It is that bad.
It is that bad.
Wow. Don't put Blizzard on your Alolan Sandslashes, guys. Just don't do it.
No, do not.
I feel like that might have been like a rental Pokemon in Dynamax Adventures or something. Like Icy Wind Sandslash.
Oh, gosh.
I would not put it past him. That's crazy.
That would be so hilarious.
And you're like, why does this team suck so bad?
Alolan Sandshrew is doing its part, and its part is looking cute.
It's not doing damage. It's a Gen 1 Pokemon, so it probably has a special move pool.
It'll cool you down if you put your feet on it.
I mean, yeah, that's it. that gives you guys 5 points for 5 questions. Nice job. And it actually does change up the standings a little bit. So right now we have, in a race to 40, Linian, who is incredibly close at 37 points in first place. In second place, we have a tie between Cloud9 and Seth Vilo at 28 points. And then we have a four-way tie for fourth place at 24 points between me, Sublime, Shark, and R Sigma, because
hey, that's
you
me.
Have gained 5 points today. followed by, in seventh place, Mark with 20 points. In eighth place, Basket with 17 points.
Wow.
In ninth place, Jishiro with 13. In 11th place, Dr. Shamu with 5 points. And that is it for our trivia segment today. As usual, if you would like to submit questions and try to stump our fellow co-hosts, you can do so in the dedicated channel on our Discord server. But right now, we are going to move along to our topic.
We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener, the first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guest. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic.
And welcome to our topic. Our topic today is going to be our top 5 and bottom 5 flying type Pokemon.
Caw-caw!
You might be familiar with this kind of topic. We do it about once a month, and we've been having a lot of fun with this one. Thatch is going to be very, very sorry that he missed this one. I know this, because he would have wanted to put Whimsicott on the list. Sigma already put Whimsicott on the list. But again, I have to reiterate, Whimsicott was never a flying type. If you think it was, you're from the wrong universe, buddy. Anyway... moving on from that.
It's okay. There are a couple Pokemon on this list that are actually flying types that I don't think should be flying types, and I'll probably nominate them for the bottom 5, even though they're cool.
Ooh, and I'm very excited to hear about them. So I'm going to start this one off myself, because there is one flying type that I'm extremely fond of, and it is Altaria.
Altaria is cool.
I actually 100%... knew that when you were like, I'm going to start out with my favorite, I was like, Altaria. Like in my head.
You know me very well.
That's funny. I was like, what's cute and fluffy?
Yep. Yeah. That sounds exactly like something I
definitely
like.
Cotton. Yeah. There are multiple cotton Pokemon on this list that don't include Whimsicott, too. One of them is significantly better than the other, but that...
Yeah. I am even fine, like, if you guys want to argue, oh, but it's a dragon type because it loses flying type when in Mega, like, I will nominate Swablu. I do not care.
No, I really like the light blue coloring of Altaria, too.
Okay. No, Basket, tell us your opinions about Altaria, because you've told us my opinion about Altaria. So.
I think Altaria is a pretty solid choice. I don't know if it's number one, though.
It's not going to be number one. It's in the top 5.
No.
Gotcha.
I'm going to put it around number 4. How's that for you guys?
That seems about fair. There are better flying types, but...
definitely there are better.
I'm okay with it being within the top 5. It is a cool design.
Okay.
Competitively, it's never been, like, amazing, but it's still cool.
No. It's cute. It has nice lore.
Design can get you far.
Yeah, exactly. Not that far.
It can't get you into the top 5, but it can save you from being the bottom 5, Ledian. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'll protect you.
Fair enough. Speaking of Pokemon who I don't appreciate the design of, I will nominate for the bottom 5, Dodrio.
Dodrio?
What?
Yep.
What is this?
Yeah, no, I'm annexing that. I'm sorry.
It's so good.
That one's not...
Okay.
If Thatch were here, he'd probably be fighting for the top 5. I don't agree with that either, but... Have you ever seen its fly animation in Stadium, though? It's great.
Yes, it's amazing. Okay, that alone might actually get it out of the bottom 5 for me.
It's like an executor with more character. It's
I don't know. I just caught a Pidgey in Pokemon Red, and then I was loyal to my first bird forever for the rest of Gen 1.
I think that's fair. Doduo shows up so late in Red and Blue that yeah. you just probably aren't using it if you started with a Pidgey or a Spearow. Spearow's okay, too.
I mean, fear is in my bottom five list, too, but...
I'm not defending it, but... It's very boring, but it had Drill Pack. Drill Pack is a cool move.
Okay.
But Dodrio has Drill Pack, too, and it's faster, so...
Man.
Dodrio is the second place bird in my heart for Gen 1.
Okay, fair enough. I got one on the board. We are moving on. Sigma, tell us your choices.
I don't have a single one I want to nominate, but I think it's worth debating between these two, because one of them deserves to be on here, and not both of them.
Okay.
I think one of the Steel Flyers should be on here between Skarmory and Corviknight.
Ooh.
And it's a hard choice because both are very good, right?
Yeah.
And both are very cool. Only one of them deserves to be on here. And that's the debate I want to open up.
All right.
Okay.
I think Skarmory is very cool. It's had a lot of like meta relevance.
It's very sharp.
However, Corviknight is badass though. Like just the coolest.
Yeah.
Also, it evolved from like the first non-legendary pure flying type.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes it like even more of a staple for the flying type.
Like, it's weird to shun Skarmory like this, but I think Corviknight's better too.
Look, Corviknight, in my opinion, looks better. It has a more situational but very cool ability because it's more unique to it.
Mm-hmm.
It has lore in its region because it's the taxi service of Galar.
It is the taxi service.
And it does deserve some love after being horribly brutalized by Tinkaton in the Paldea region. So, yeah, I would not put it above number five, but I am very okay with you guys putting it.
It's like one of them deserves to be on it, and I think it's Corviknight. The G-Max looked really cool.
The G-Max is amazing.
It was useless because turns out Max Airstream was the best G-Max or regular Dynamax move, but it looked really cool.
It looked cool. Yeah, I am okay with putting it on the list for all the reasons that we said. So it's there.
Okay. For bottom five, I don't want to make this a list of the worst bug types because we still have bug types to go.
We still have them to go, yes.
Turns out there's a lot of bug flyings that are awful. Mothim. But you know what? We just put a taxi service on here. I want to nominate Squawkabilly.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm done with that.
Yes, yes.
I don't like it.
I was going to say, I just, its gimmick is whatever. I don't care about the multiple colors of a bad Pokemon.
Exactly. Look, if you make a Pokemon that has multiple colors and Whimsicott doesn't like it, it means it's really bad.
So, I don't want to hijack your choice here, but I feel like this deserves kind of the same treatment that you gave to the other two flying types, Corviknight and Skarmory.
Oh, do you want to nominate something else to compare to?
Yes, Chatot.
Okay.
Ooh, I like Chatot.
No, Chatot is cute. And it has a...
Chatot got the benefit of being in Mystery Dungeon.
Okay, I didn't play that.
He was kind of an antagonistic character in the guild, but he's still a well-liked. I mean, he's no Wigglytuff.
Well, see, here's my counter to that, all right? Squawkabilly at least has a sick hairdo.
And Chatot has an amazing tail.
I think Chatot's cute at least.
Okay, all right, okay. We'll go with Squawkabilly. All right.
Chatot is cute. It had its own gimmick, which caused controversy.
Chatter, yeah. It had a move banned from VGC.
Exactly. Like, it's cute, but also kind of BA. So,
I think it's one of its original sprites made it look angry all the time.
Yeah, and then they moved that on to another one of my choices for the bottom.
But now it looks cute, so it's fine.
Okay, Basket, it's your turn.
Okay. So, I have See, this is really hard because I know that at a certain point I'm going to, we're going to start filling up, and then I don't know which one I want to go with first, but I'm going to go with, Mega Pidgeot.
Okay. Ooh.
That is the most, that is the coolest, in my opinion, the coolest looking and the most beautiful bird. I mean, that thing looks like a legendary to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it is fantastic. Like
it did Pidgeot right.
Yeah.
I am so down for it. I would even put it in first place because it's such a classic.
I have it as my first place, to be completely honest with you, because I ranked mine. I didn't know if we were ranking like on the episode, but yeah. So, and it's a Gen 1 starter.
Sigma, are you okay with?
Oh, absolutely. I think a Route 1 bird that isn't Corviknight should be on here, and I'm perfectly okay with it being Mega Pidgeot.
So it's both a giant classic and a really refreshing, really cool, really epic take on the classic. Yeah, it deserves top spot.
Nothing like no-guard hurricanes to just rip through things.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
I think it also got like one speed point higher than Mega Salamence, too.
Which it deserves. Like, so Salamence worked really, really hard to become a flying type, and it's a jet. But Mega Pidgeot is just majestic.
Yes.
And it deserves it.
Yes.
Okay. What's your proposal for a bottom slot?
Okay. So I think Skiploom.
Skiploom? Sure.
Mm.
It is worse than Jumpluff. I will give you that.
It is worse than Jumpluff? Than Hoppip.
Yes, it's worse than Jumpluff, and it's worse than Hoppip as well. I think it's just kind of like, wah, wah, wah.
I'm not arguing against this. I don't like Jumpluff, but I hate Skiploom more.
I adore Hoppip. I adore Jumpluff, but you know what? I will not fight you over Skiploom.
<Okay. laughs>
It's also just so bulky. How does it float?
The flower is magic.
I guess.
it's my least favorite part of the dandelion circle of life. So yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm gonna let you guys put it down.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So another flying type that I really like, and I think it's pretty classic and really cute, is Togekiss.
Togekiss is cool.
It's on my list too.
Cool.
It gave Togetic something to do.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And also, it was amazing before its type change, and it's amazing after its type change. I mean, that thing, in my opinion, just cannot fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. And since flying is the type that it kept between incarnations,
it's definitely a flying type. Yeah.
I think it's the type that should put it on the list. Yeah. Okay, this was super easy. Togekiss, you are on the list.
All right.
As for what I ate, since I guess you guys are not going to let me like slander any Gen 1 birds.
You can slander Gen 1 birds, just not Dodrio.
Okay. but Thatch already said that he does not agree with Firo being on the bottom of any list. So you know what? I'm going to propose to Canon.
Toucanon's not great.
That works for me, honestly. He kind of, like, I liked the idea of him, and then when I was playing with him, I got bored of him. I got really bored of him.
Yeah.
He suffers from the Alola speed issue that most things do.
That's certainly one issue. I think the thing that I dislike the most about Toucanon is that it has a really bad attitude, and while I feel personally extremely bad putting, you know, in a list of bad things a Pokemon that has my pride flag as its shiny, I don't think it's worthy of carrying that pride flag because it's so grumpy. Like, give it to something happier.
He's always grumpy.
So I just want to come on the record, and I want to say that Toucanon would, like, it's not my bottom five. I don't think it deserves bottom five status. However, I am okay with being overwritten.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the worst, like, Route 1 bird? Mm. Like, it's between that and Unpheasant for me, right?
Unpheasant at least has, you know, gender differences.
See, I like Unpheasant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like...
It might be the worst one.
I think Toucanon is the worst of them. So
if you don't quite agree, Basket, we can put it to the side and come back to it later. But I don't know.
We can always... What we can do is we can have Toucanon on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we don't agree on... like if we vote one out, then we just throw Toucanon in.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, when we were looking at it at the very end and saying, like, are we okay with this? It's like, okay, yeah. If it's not bottom five, it's bottom six.
Yeah.
Okay. Sigma, it's your go. You might be able to fill out our top five.
All right. So this thing was done dirty on an earlier list.
Mm.
And it has replaced Fly twice.
Mm.
Charizard.
Mm.
It was the Pokemon that flew you around Alola, despite not being in Alola. And in Let's Go, it let you take to the skies. Like, it is a flying Pokemon through and through.
Mm.
It probably deserved to be on fire, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm... wait, so fire was already done?
Yeah, that's my argument. Yeah, fire was already done. I would argue against it because it's... so much more of a fire type than a flying type.
It is. It's flying, yeah. Moopool. It has been atrocious until it got Hurricane last gen. But
yeah.
Before that, it was air slashing things.
I will tell you something. I will propose this. I would hear Basket's proposal for the last spot. And if we don't agree on that, I would substitute your Charizard with Mega Charizard Y.
That's fine. A Charizard. I'm nominating A Charizard. I think Gigantamax is cool.
I like Y better than X.
Yeah. So okay, let's put Charizard to the side along with Toucanon, and let's hear your proposal for a bottom spot.
Okay. This one is going to be extremely controversial because it is a very popular Pokemon. But I think that this Pokemon should have been a water Pokemon instead of a flying Pokemon. And I fully realize that it is probably the Pokemon that makes me think there are a lot more legendary flying types than there are. And that is Lugia.
It's Lugia.
You find it in the Whirl Islands underwater. Yes. It dives. It should be a water Pokemon, not a flying Pokemon.
I totally get where you're coming from.
It's a controversial pick. I understand that.
I cannot endorse Lugia on the bottom of any list. I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
Like, I love the Pokemon, but it is not a flying type to me.
Just because of the movie, I cannot let you do this. That is my favorite Pokemon movie ever.
I hope the emailers have my back here. It should be a water Pokemon.
I agree with you.
I think that is solid. Yeah. Like, it's a solid reason for having it low.
Like, it is a bad flying Pokemon.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I think the only, if anything, Lugia should not be a psychic type.
That's fair, too. Its typings in general just don't make sense for what it's trying to be.
Because it's a bird that lives in the water. It should be a water flying type. And I don't get why it had to be a psychic type when Ho-Oh gets to not be a psychic type.
Right? Ho-Oh makes sense as a fire flying type.
Exactly. So, like, it's...
Lugia would have been a great duality of a water flying type, sure.
Exactly. It's a psychic type because legendaries have to be psychic, but Ho-Oh isn't. So it doesn't make sense.
It's a weird thing. And when I was putting this list together, I thought there were a lot more flying type legendaries.
No.
Apparently it was just Gen 1 and 2, with a little bit later.
Yeah. Okay, we have next year Lugia idea, so we need to move on to Basket's choices.
Okay. I kind of want to cheat here and offer up two.
I mean, this is the final discussion for that final top spot, probably, so I would say go ahead. Who cares?
Yeah, we can debate on it.
All right. First one is Dragonite, because to me, like, yes, it's a much more, you know,
it's to me, it's a dragon, but you can continue to argue for it.
To me, it's a dragon. Yeah.
Right. But it is like when I think of because there are so many dragon flying types. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's the quintessential dragon flying.
Okay.
It's like one of my babies.
For me, Dragonite's the dragon and Noivern is the flying.
Gotcha.
I think Dragonite is going to have to go on the dragon list.
It better.
As the quintessential dragon Pokemon, Dragon is going to be the very last type that we analyze. So we're going to have to wait a while for that.
But you said you had two. So
yes. Yeah. So my second one is Cramorant, specifically the gorging Cramorant, where it's got the Pikachu in its mouth.
So Cramorant is hilarious.
I love Cramorant. Its design is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it eating a Pikachu is like the best thing in the world to me.
It is very, 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 very funny.
It's adorable. Whimsicott, just do me the favor. Before you say no, just look it up. Google it and just look at its eyes.
I have seen it. I have seen it in action. And it's hilarious. It's amazing.
It's funny how that Pokemon makes Bombardier worse, but that's beside the point.
Look, Basket, Soviet Thatch, Charizard Y.
It was shunned. It didn't deserve it.
All right, okay.
We still have to do water, so you get another shot when we do water.
It's true. His ability requires water moves. He's a water type.
See?
All right, okay.
Can we just put Mega Charizard Y on the list?
Yeah, we can put Mega Charizard Y.
Okay, thank you, guys.
What about X, though? Can we put X instead of Y?
It's not a flying type.
That's not a flying type.
Oh, that's right.
It's a dragon.
That's why I am more okay putting Y on this list rather than playing Charizard.
It is more flying because they chose flying over something else.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Fire grass would have been cool with solar beam, but you know, whatever.
For the record, I dissent, but it's okay.
All right. What bad Pokemon do you have?
I think you've been firmly outvoted. Sorry, Basket. So we have our top five. You can argue about the placements. Right now it reads from number one to number five, Mega Pidgeot, Togekiss, Mega Charizard Y, Altaria, and Corviknight.
That's solid.
Okay. And we only have 2.5 spots filled with the bottom five. So let's go wild and just destroy everything.
Let's make a lot of people sad.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Basket, I think it's your turn to propose a bottom one.
Okay. I'm going to go with... This is hard. Rotom Fan.
No. It's too hilarious.
He's so cute, though. He's useless, completely useless, but he's adorable.
Oh, my God. We're not putting Cramorant on, but you guys don't want Rotom Fan on the bottom? What is wrong with you people?
Exactly! That is what is leaving me perplexed. Like, it's the same thing. It's hilarious.
No, it's stupid. All right, okay. Your turn, Scott.
Okay. Ooh, okay. My turn. Okay, so I have one that specifically ticks me off because it's a flying type, and it's Masquerain.
I mean, yeah, you're right. That is something I had on my list because it should have stayed water. Wow, lots of water things, but yeah.
Exactly. Water bug is so cool, and it took another 4 generations to finally get another couple of those.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm okay with this.
Okay, what about you, Basket?
Flying is a disappointment here.
Exactly.
And we actually had expectations to live up to.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Masquerain.
All right. Let's go to the list and find something bad. something bad. As much as I... You know what? This is going to be on the list for disappointment. Mm-hmm. Gen 7 onwards Talonflame. Losing its wonderful gale wings.
No, it still looks so cool, though.
I love the Pokemon. I just feel bad that it lost gale wings full power. okay,
I don't
Basket
know.
Can get something.
Okay, all right. Okay, so my last entry here, and I guess this is between this one and two cannon. Ducklet. I think Ducklet is just...
We have a better duck now. It's not flying type, but we have a better duck.
we have received a better duck.
We have better duck.
I mean, Ducklet is, it's like it's perfectly useless, but it's cute.
I think it's so much more...
Is it cuter than Quaxley?
No. Very few things are cuter than Quaxley.
I think it's just incredibly boring. It's a blue duck. And I think Toucanon is like at least a cooler looking bird.
Yeah. I don't disagree. What about you, Sigma?
Ducklet's... Ducklet's not great. Swanna's not great too. If you would have nominated Swanna,
I honestly like it even less than Ducklet's.
I wouldn't have argued against either of them. They are that boring.
I like it more than Ducklet, but we can put both of them there if you guys really want to.
Okay, let's just say Ducklet and leave it at that.
Ducklet's fine. Okay.
Okay. Oh gosh, is it my turn to propose a bad one again?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well. So another one that is like just there is Noctowl.
I love Noctowl. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, he's from the anime. If he weren't in the anime, I would be 100% in getting him.
Okay. Fine. Let's move on.
I think he looks cool. Yeah. But
I think Owl's.
He is a disappointment. I will, but the anime like bumps him up a little bit.
I think Owls are actually cuter than Noctowl, which is a crime. The Pokemon should be cuter than the actual animal.
I mean, is it time to just say Delibird's bad and move on? We have Iron Bundle now. We don't have to pretend that we care about Delibird, right?
I mean, Delibird annoys the crap out of me.
The only reason I don't want to put him on the bottom of the flying list is because at least Hustle Aerial Ace was kind of cute for a little bit. he's a worse ice type, but he is bad.
Yeah, let's put it on the shelf for the ice types because I actually kind of like Delibird. So
we have Iron Bundle now, and Iron Bundle's everything that Delibird wishes it could be.
It has little ski feet.
I love its little neck popping out. It's great.
Yeah. And I'm not such a fan of the neck popping out, but it
just wiggles there. It's cute. Love the thing.
So, Basket.
All right. So then it's my turn. Okay.
After this, it's Toucanon. Toucanon okay. goes away.
Gotcha. Okay. So, man. We do have a bug flying type already on there.
Yeah, but there's room for a lot of them.
Yeah, and they're bad. Don't get me wrong. There are multiple other bug flyings on this list that I would nominate here.
There's like another one that to me...
Like one of them is going to make bug. I'm not too concerned about it. Two of them might make bug. Who knows? They're all bad. There are a lot of bad bugs though. As we're finding out, there are less bad flyings.
Okay. I guess my nomination, well, I think you talked about it before we started recording, Sigma, but Mail Combi
is that bad, yes. Maybe one day though.
Yeah, but I would put it as a bad bug type, honestly.
And then the other one would be I guess either Vivillon.
Well, Vivillon's cute. Mothim though.
Well, that was just gonna say, or Mothim.
Like, everything about the Burmy line is a disappointment.
I think actually, yeah, but I think Mothim is the worst because it, like, moves away from the gimmick.
Yeah, it is pretty bad.
Okay, so I am down for putting Mothim on this list because, again, the flying type is what makes it a disappointment. Before I do, I would like to bring out Sigilyph because I hate it.
I think it's cool. I love its design. It's so unique.
I think it's very cool. Yeah.
Then I think Mothim wins at being the worst. Toucanon is saved. Yay for Pride Month.
That's fine.
And we have our list, guys. So once again, our top five are Mega Pidgeot, Togekiss, Mega Charizard Y, Altaria, and Corviknight. And our bottom five are Squawkabilly, Skiploom, Mascarene, Mothim, and Ducklet. Are you guys okay with that?
I think it's solid.
I feel a little bad for not having Gliscor on either the flying or the ground list, but I think this is fine.
But Gliscor is so nice.
Gliscor is really cool. But
it's really cool.
I think this list is solid. I think it should have been on the ground list.
Yeah, shout out to Crobat too. Crobat is very cool.
Yeah.
Crobat's cool. Crobat was on our poison list. That's why it's not here.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
I didn't talk about it because, yeah, the coloring means that it was on the list.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I agree that Gliscor is cool, but I think the ones we picked are cooler.
I agree. I feel like Gliscor's chance was on the ground list. There are a lot of cool flying types.
So with that, we have listed off our choices, and we would, as usual, like you guys at home to tell us if you agree, if you disagree, what would be your top and bottom five flying types, and that is going to be our mailbag for next week. Write in at bucklepodcast@gmail.com and tell us all about your favorite and least favorite flying types. With that, we can conclude the topic, and we're going to move on to the Pokemon of the episode. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode today is Zamazenta, the warrior Pokemon. National Dex number 889.
Hero of many battles. In some times past, it worked together with the king of the people to save the Galar region. It absorbs metal that it then uses in battle. This is from its sword entry.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah, both of the dogs have, like, cooler entries in the other game for some reason. So you have to transfer them over to see the really cool ones. Anyway, Zamazenta, we are looking specifically at the Hero of Many Battles form today, simply because the crown form is banned from OU, and we are looking at an OU team.
And this thing's probably going to be banned next week, maybe.
but we'll live in the present.
Hey, you got a week. So there's a week to play it. We're good. We needed a team.
So the stats for the Hero of Many Battles are currently, because they have been changed, 92 HP, 120 attack, that got nerfed, 115 defense, 80 special attack, 115 special defense, and a whopping 138 speed.
Did it need that speed? No, but it got it.
No, but it got it. Woof goes fast. So
it loses that speed when it gets its shield and its hero.
Yeah,
crown
that's
form,
fair.
So
it looks very heavy. So
it does. It makes sense that it would lose some speed with that giant shield on its face.
Exactly. Even just for the wind drag. Like anyway, our Zamazenta from this team is holding a Lumberry. It has electric as its Terra type, mostly for defensive reasons. Its EVs are 240 in attack, 100 in defense, and 168 speed. And Sigma was telling me that this is possibly because you want to outspeed stuff like Meowscarada and Weavile and a couple of birds. And, you know, you have the speed. You might as well use it. It has a jolly nature, by the way, just to keep up with the speed. And its moves are Iron Defense, Body Press, which obviously plays off of that Iron Defense, and then Heavy Slam and Crunch, because you hate fairies and you hate ghost types, because you're trying to attack with Body Press.
You want a Body Press and they're not letting you.
And they're not letting you, exactly. Another thing you don't like much are flying types, and your teammate is actually a fairy flying type. One that not many people love, but I certainly do. It's the very last genie, our girl Enamoros. She's holding Leftovers. She has the ability Cute Charm, because she is cute. Her Terra type is Ground. She has a modest nature with max speed and max special attack. The remaining 4 EVs go into special defense. And her moves are Agility, Calm Mind, Earth Power, and Moonblast. So she's going to dance in your face if you let her, and then she's going to try and destroy a few things.
Sounds like a genie thing to do. It's fine.
Yep.
I've seen Landorus do it before. I'm aware. It's even ground type too.
Yep. But, you know, I like one of them a lot more than I like the other.
That's fair.
You all know what I think about Landorus.
It's lucky and then got brought up during the topic.
Yep. I was tempted, but I knew you guys would say, no, it's so good.
I probably would not have blocked it.
Anyway, let's talk about the ground types that are actually on this team, because there's one of them. Who has this?
Sure, I'll take the next two, I guess. Next up, we got Great Tusk with a booster energy. We have no choice on ability. Terra type ice.
Yep.
Max HP, max speed for attack. Bulk up. Jolly nature. We're fast. We're going to go. I assume that we're going faster with that booster energy. We set up with bulk up, then we close combat and headlong rush, because who needs defenses? We're going to destroy things.
Exactly.
And you have Ice Spinner, because why not? Sometimes you got to get rid of the flying types that stop your close combats and headlong rushes. And that's okay.
And bother your Zamazenta, yeah.
And then next up, we've got a sword trio. I'll take the first of them. King Gambit with the black glasses. Supreme Overlord ability, so when it comes in later in the battle, it gets more attacks, or attack power. Terra type Dark, max attack, max speed, a little bit in special defense, adamant nature. Swords Dance, Kowtow Cleave, Sucker Punch, Iron Head. That's what we're doing as a King Gambit.
That is so weird to see full speed in a King Gambit.
Right? I don't know. It's a weird team. It's a weird team.
Yeah.
But pickings are slim. We got to go with what we can get.
Exactly. Basket, take us home.
All right. We've got Cerulege with a Focus Sash, ability Weak Armor, Terra type Flying, 252 attack, 252 speed, and we're putting the last four in special defense. It's got a Jolly Nature, Swords Dance, Bitter Blade, Shadow Sneak, and Close Combat.
I love this Pokemon.
Cerulege is really cool, and I wish it had sharpness.
Yeah.
It would be really broken with sharpness, but I wish it had it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about Cerulege is that I love the idea of when it's not fighting, its little psychic swords or whatever they are disappear, and it's just got these tiny little stumpy arms.
I use it to... I use it for Let's Go all the time just to auto-kill things, just because it runs fast, and it looks cool.
It runs super fast, and it looks cool. Yeah, I use it for the same thing.
Last up, we've got the Hisuian Samurott. It also has a Focus Sash. Its ability is Torrent, I guess.
It's weird, but it makes sense here, looking at its moveset.
Yeah. And then we've got Terra-type Ghost, 252 attack, 252 speed, 4 in special attack. It has a naive nature, and it's got Ceaseless Edge, Knockoff, Surf, and Aqua Jet.
Ooh.
Yeah, like you only have one cutting move and you have two water moves. I assume you're going to try to get rid of opposing Great Tusks with that special attack.
Yeah, probably. It's interesting. I like it.
It is very interesting. This is an aggressive team.
Very aggressive. But it's really cool. And I like that you pointed out there's a sword trio. So Zamazenta does not have his sister, but he's certainly like feeling her presence.
It's supported by some swords. It's got knights.
Exactly.
It worked out.
I like this. It's really cute. So I don't know what's going to happen with this team and the distribution and everything else. I will make no promises. But yeah, you guys probably know how things usually work, and I'm hoping they are able to work as usual. That's all I'm going to say. With that said, I think this team is going to be in the Discord for you guys to check out the entire sets. And we are going to move on to our last beautiful segment, the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to our mailbag. As usual, this is the segment where we bring you the emails that our faithful listeners have sent in during the week at bucklepodcast@gmail.com to bring us their opinion, their thoughts, their, you know, negative things to say if they have any. Hopefully they don't, but sometimes they do, and that's fine. Last week's mailbag was asking you your opinion about the recent updates to the competitive scenes brought by the home update.
Sure, that's totally what I wrote down as the mailbag question.
It wasn't it? The show said it was.
It's close enough. Nobody reads the show notes. It's fine.
I didn't read the show notes. I listened to the episode, but I listened to it in a hurry, so I might misremember slightly. Anyway, something...
I didn't figure out... I wrote up my own question for the show notes, so it's fine. It's fine.
Something about home. Something about Pokemon.
It's something about home.
It was definitely about Pokemon.
Yes.
But I would be remiss to get to the mailbag without mentioning that this segment is, as ever, sponsored by the extremely fictional drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Yeah! That was amazing. Okay, so we actually have only one email this week, because apparently people were actually busy like playing with the home updates instead of telling us about the home updates. And so I'm going to read it off. This is from the Aussie Crocodile, which is an amazing nickname. And Crocodile tells us, "Good day, Puckle crew. Monday afternoon, time to listen to Puckle on the commute home. Then a quick good day to the nurses and kids. Then retreat to my porcelain throne to write my mailbag submission." Well, that is an image right there, but fair. My favorite new toy from home has been Spectrier so far.
Ooh.
At work, we have been having little multi-battle comps to decide who's buying lunch every second Friday. Hey, that is a cool workplace, my mate.
Yeah.
Our rule set this fortnight is pretty much Reg D, except you can only bring one legendary each. Nice.
Hmm.
It has been serving us well, I have to admit. Though I have suffered from new toy syndrome, though, because I transferred my ghost horse over and got the EV spread sorted and changed the Terra to Fairy so I could hit some deadly pink Terra Blasts. After I had locked in my team for the week, I realized I had just created a Flutter main that hits a little harder but moves a little slower.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
That is amazing. Not necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like I could have just brought a Flutter main and left my legendary slot for something else a little more unique from all the Paldeamons. No need to stress though, we are up 8-2, and I can taste that KFC Zinger box already. Well, now I'm hungry. And good job on going 8-2. As for when the proper VGC regulation D starts, I'm excited for Sneasler and the Hisuya and Eviolite Quillfish I've been messing around with on casual battles.
Ooh.
I hear that's a tough one.
That sounds like fun.
The last slide is... Toilet flush is spinging in a counterclockwise direction. Because, yeah, really fun. See you in a while from the Aussie Crocodile. This was an amazing mailbag. Thank you so much.
I think even if we had 10 more, this one probably would have won.
Yeah, I agree. Hands down.
If they don't have it already, I don't know.
I don't know if they have it already. If they don't, they definitely...
They do. We're good.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
No winners. No winners this week.
We are not giving out the Green Tauros badge this week, but in spirit, you would have deserved another one. So, think about that. Okay, so this was actually a very quick mailbag segment, and we would usually try to drag it on by discussing some stuff.
Nah, we got a long topic. We're good.
Yeah, Exactly. So if you want to listen to more Puckle, I guess you can actually do the things that Thatch always says you should do. The first one of them is go to PuckleDiscord.com and join our Discord server. You can hang out, you can participate in our tournaments, you can have trades and battles and all sorts of fun there. And if you want more teams, more help with the raids, more content, I think there's talk of a global Nuzlocke happening soonish, or happening now and then continuing soonish, I don't know. You can go to youtube.com/pucklepodcast and check out all of our videos and streams and stuff. And if you would like to support us, there are two ways you can do that. One is going to patreon.com/pucklepodcast and joining any of our tiers for some extra fun and monetary contribution to the show. And the other is, like Thatch says, if you like certain types of cardboard, some of which are very expensive when they feature a certain streamer, you can go to trollandtoad.com and use the checkout code PucklePod5 for a 5% discount on your purchase there. Be they Pokemon cards.
Waifu cards are expensive.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sad reality of the world. Anyway, I think that's all the speech that Thatch usually does in these occasions. So I think our duty has been done. We have hopefully given you a fun show this week once again. And until next time, I have been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
I've been Basket.
And I've been our Sigma.
And here in the good old Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.